Hello and welcome to the Pure Championship podcast, the number one podcast for all things Scottish Championship. I'm Cam Anderson and he's Chris Sampson. And in today's episode, we're going to react to Hearts becoming the champions eventually and take a look at players who we think will be key for the remaining nine teams, all of whom still have something to play for with three games of the season to spare. So let's start with Hearts, who were crowned champions this past weekend following a resounding 6-0 win over bottom-placed Alloa and thanks to other results going their way. Chris, what have been some memorable or key moments and or players in Hearts' kind of run to the title?
Well, I think firstly, if you were watching Pure Goals with us, the Pure Football Pure Goals show on Twitch on Saturday, we had quite an underwhelming reaction to Hearts winning the league, and it was a very dour congratulations from me, because I think we've just been expecting it all season, really, haven't we, to be honest, Cammy? Kind of ever since that opening day win against Dundee, the 6-2, which I think has got to be up there with one of their highlights of the season, because it was a very impressive performance.
Yeah, it was, and I think this is a game we constantly refer back to in the podcast, especially when Hearts were kind of going through that spell where they really weren't playing well. They kind of picked up, was it 3-1-0 draws in the trot or what have you, and it was just any time they played bad, we'd constantly refer to that game. And just, I mean, it was possibly the best, best team performance we've seen from any team in the Championship this season. It was just, I mean, some would say start as you mean to go on. It didn't quite pan out that way, but I mean, Hearts have ran away with the title in the end. And I mean, I think there's certainly been a lot of disappointment from the fans, but at the same time, as kind of muted as the kind of celebrations were, even Hearts weren't even that kind of big about it on social media, just a kind of wee graphic, and that was it. There wasn't really many celebrations, and there were certainly some moments, as you say, that win, the way they won the title and then that win, and they also had that kind of decent unbeaten run kind of between the end of January and only a few weeks back, actually, 9 games unbeaten. I think there's been a few players who've certainly stood out for me. What about you?
Well, yeah, definitely a few players. You mentioned that unbeaten run, Cammy. I was just looking back at it as well earlier on. And I think if you look at Hearts' December in the league, it was actually pretty, pretty promising for them as well. We talked about the 6-2 against Dundee, and obviously they sealed the title with a 6-0 against Alloa. But during December, they had that 6-1 against Queen of the South too. So scoring 6 times across 3 different matches across the league season is pretty impressive. But I think if you look at the December as well, they won every single match in December. They scored 2 against Morton, they scored 6 against Queen of the South, they scored 5 against Ayr on Boxing Day, and then they beat Arbroath 3-1 just before the new year as well. So I think if you're looking at runs, and even if you add in the end of November to that as well, they'd kind of they had comfortably beat Alloa in the league before, obviously, Alloa chucked them out the League Cup. But we don't cover the cups on this podcast. It's just league games that we do mainly talk about. So I think there's definitely spells where they've been impressive, but for a large part of the last couple of months, then the most thing we've talked about in terms of Hearts has been how angry their fans have been on Twitter, and I think that comes back to kind of how muted the title celebrations will be and have been.
Yeah, I mean, I think, as we've always said, the expectations were high and the Hearts fans have never hidden that. I think both you and I, as much as we've maybe not enjoyed Hearts and I don't know if you could say the kind of belief that they're far too big time, and yeah, it is true that they're not a Championship club, obviously, when you look at things, that is the league they're currently in, but in terms of generally speaking, they are a Premiership club in terms of size, just the kind of budget and the players and stuff. But I mean, it has certainly annoyed a pair of us the way Hearts fans have went about it. But at the same time, you can understand the kind of disappointment at the same time. I think many were kind of tipping them for an unbeaten season. Obviously, that never happened. And they have had a few kind of embarrassing results. You're saying we're not going to bring up the cups, but you can't obviously not mention that Brora Rangers defeat. That was, I mean, yeah, definitely up there for one of their worst results in decades, probably, when you look at things. Up there with that kind of Birker Cara loss in the Europa League. And yeah, I mean, it was mental, and it's just kind of added to the hatred that Hearts fans seem to have for Robbie Nielsen. But what about kind of some players then? Who who have been some standouts for you? I know Craig Gordon certainly received a lot of praise this season, and some have even went so far to suggest he's the best player in the league. Would you agree with that, or do you think it's nonsense?
Well, I think we had a bit of a debate about it, didn't we, before we spotted Joel Sked posting it. I think that it's a really difficult one for me, from my perspective. Like, I think what we said before was, if you look at the best team in the league, the team that's top of the league, the team that should be dominating, and obviously they've won the league now, so they have dominated. Like, should their goalkeeper be regarded as the best team, the best player in the league? I would probably say probably not, but he's been a very good goalkeeper, and probably even on form, potentially could be, or maybe should be, Scotland's goalkeeper going into the Euros. But I wouldn't like to pick him as my player of the season in the entire league.
No, he certainly wouldn't be my kind of favourite. My best player in the league. I don't quite know who I would say it was, but I could say it's not Craig Gordon. I think, as you correctly described, they're the team very much expected to run away from the league as they did. And granted, he's got 10 clean sheets and 23 appearances. It's probably one of the highest amounts in the league. But when you think of it as well, Hearts, given kind of all the expectations, maybe a little disappointing, maybe I'm being a bit harsh, that they've got, I mean, 10 clean sheets for him, still a decent amount. Most goalies would be happy with that. But even still, it's, I'm not sure I agree with him being the top player. But one player who I think is certainly in the conversation for best player in the league is Liam Boyce. 14 goals, 4 assists and 22 league appearances. You can't really argue with those numbers. And I think early on in the season, me and you were both a bit disappointed with him, maybe expected a little more, but he's certainly been a key player in Hearts in the kind of title win.
Yeah, I think me and you maybe more than a little bit just kicked him on, didn't it, Cammy? He's clearly a pure championship listener, and heard us slagging him a little bit, and then decided to that he was eventually and ultimately going to be top scorer in the league. He probably won't be caught now, especially after that hat trick on Friday night last week, and it was an impressive hat trick as well. I really liked his first goal, which we probably wouldn't touch on too much, but like, probably the first thing that Andy Halliday's done in a Hearts shirt, make that nice little pass through to Liam Boyce for that opening goal. But yeah, I think both of those players have been impressive. I think we probably expected more from a few other players. Like Craig Halkett probably could have been much more solid at the back, albeit he probably has been one of Hearts's most solid defenders, or because he's been there for the most part of the season. We initially really liked Stephen Kingsley. He's obviously picked up an injury and he's been out for a wee while. And then you can't really not talk about Andy Irving, probably one of the classiest players in the league, and should be up there in discussions for, like, if I'm talking players of the season, then from a Hearts perspective, for me, it's Liam Boyce or Andy Irving.
Yeah, I mean, I think even if you're not going to include Irving as the best player, he's certainly up there as one of the best young players. I think he's a player who we've ranted and raved about all season, and he is a player who really looks like he can go on and have a really good future, whether that's at Hearts or elsewhere. I'm not sure on his contract status, but yeah, certainly a player who's stood out. I'm just kind of looking at some numbers and kind of stats just in general, and you look at stuff like points per match, it is just full of Hearts players. And if you were to hazard a guess at who's got the most points per match for Hearts, who would you think it would be?
Craig Gordon.
Wrong. It's Ollie Lee with 2.4. Obviously, he's not there anymore.
he's missed all their terrible results in the second half of the season. Maybe he was the key man.
Perhaps, but second is Michael Smith with 2.27. Then your man Craig Gordon is third with 2.17. The numbers are just so dominated by Hearts and kind of most kind of stats. And yeah, it's been a kind of weird season. Obviously, Hearts, as we said, I've done what we expected, but it's just been so weird. And yeah, I don't know how I can kind of feel about it. Could you say they've been one of the worst championship winning teams, even though they've done so well, if that makes sense? Like, I'm going to have Hearts fans in my mentions, but just in terms of obviously you've mentioned a few of those big results, but for the most part they've been absolutely horrific to watch. Like it's what do you think?
I don't know, it maybe feels harsh. Obviously I think this season's going to be one that people kind of point to and probably remember in future seasons. Like some fans might come back and be like, well, Hearts won the league, but it was only a 27 game season, so anything could have happened in those games that we were missing in that kind of quarter of the season that we're basically skipping. But no, I mean everybody expected them to win it. They probably deserve it on the balance of play. And I think it's probably, the whole situation is probably summed up by this potential boycott of lifting the championship trophy. What do you think about that, Cammy?
I mean, I think it's a bit embarrassing. I can understand that there's also anger for the way they ended up in the league, but it's very, very petty to refuse to hold the trophy. I know a lot of Hearts fans haven't really celebrated the title and obviously won't be there to celebrate the title. So I don't know if that's maybe got a part to play in it, but yeah, it's just a bit kind of small-time behaviour from a big club to refuse a trophy. Well, yeah, or refuse to pick the trophy up. It's just, it'd be poor if they went ahead with it, and I hope that that's not the case, because I think it would be really disrespectful, but ultimately it's not us who are going to make that decision. If Hearts want to go down that route and kind of create a few more enemies for themselves, yes, so be it. But shall we maybe move on and discuss the best of the rest. Some maybe wouldn't be classed as the best of the rest, but we'll just maybe say the rest. So yeah, we'll
give it its proper title, Cammy.
I've had a bit of a brain fart.
Who's going to be key for the next three?
There we go. That's why you that's why you name the podcasts. So yeah, starting with Alloa, then I think there's an obvious candidate, and that is Innes Cameron, a player who has come in and, I mean, I think we've said most weeks when he scored goals, what would have happened had he been there the full season? Would you agree with him being your kind of key man for Alloa in the bid to avoid what seems almost an inevitable relegation?
Yeah, I think I spotted Kieran kind of tweeting earlier, I think it was, and obviously only nine points left to play with, and I think Alloa need to win all three matches to give them a chance of like almost staying up. Even obviously they're relying on other results to go their way. It's kind of in their hands almost. If you look at it, like they've got Raith Rovers at home on Sunday, and then it's an absolute massive second last game of the season at Capello, Morton Alloa, and then finishing it off with your Dunfermline. Who I'm sure we'll get onto, but you don't expect to win another match up until now in the end of the season. So they're potentially looking at, I don't know, two wins from that, if I'm being really pessimistic about Morton's chances. Obviously, Raith are on really good form, and you're looking at who is getting the goals for them at the moment, and it's Cameron. I've been so impressed with him, and I think he's definitely played his way into like getting a decent club next season as well, if Kelly don't fancy him. What is it? He's got five goals in just over 1,000 minutes that he's played so far. So, and obviously for the bottom side in the league, it's not too bad at all.
I mean, sorry, just to butt in while you're on about goals before I forget, looking at his kind of some stats, his goals per 90 is 10th best in the league. Obviously that does kind of include that spell at Ayr, where it wasn't exactly fantastic. I don't think we really expected him to come and do what he has done at Alloa, but 0.46 goals per 90 over kind of the spells with Alloa and Ayr, and I presume it's much better when you just kind of include Alloa in that. Goals and assists per 90 is also the 10th best, 0.61. So certainly a player who's come in, as you say, and really made a name for himself and really put his name kind of into the market, although we might actually still see him in the championship next season. And I'm sorry to Pure Football's Ali, because he'll be sitting listening and raging that I've suggested his Kelly could potentially join the teams in the championship. But yeah, I mean, I think I'd certainly be happy to see Innes Cameron have another stab at the championship, whether that be with Kilmarnock or with another team. I mean, I can't see my Pars taking him, I'd take him, but given our strikers are all kind of locked up for the next few seasons, I can't really see us aiming to bring in a striker in the summer. Would he be a player you'd take at Morton if the possibility was there?
Oh, definitely. I would have taken him in January on loan, and I'd take him next season. Absolutely no bother at all. Like, I think that he would, I mean, he would hopefully suit quite well. I think that's why I've liked him so much at Alloa since he come in, because he just puts himself about up there. He's winning aerial duels. He is like battling for every single ball. He's obviously getting on the end of chances. He's getting these goals, and he's just that focal point that I think Alloa were missing in the first half of the season. And that, I think that's why we keep coming back to the fact that what if he'd been there for the entirety of the season? What would have happened with Alloa's season? But I would take him at Morton next season. I think he'd be a really good signing. But I think you could probably do a bit better, to be honest.
Don't be so harsh on yourself. so obviously we've said Alloa kind of are facing the impossible. I mean, we've seen strange things happen. Do you think Alloa have any chance whatsoever?
No.
I mean, I'm going to agree with you, but see if they played Raith Rovers on the final day of the season, I'd have maybe said yes. Like, if they played Dunfermline first, then Morton, I would have maybe said, right, they can get 6 points out of those games, then it'd be Raith. But I'm not kind of looking forward. Obviously, the games have all been moved to earlier on Saturday, kind of lunchtime.
And not everybody's like, playing as well on Saturday because of Morton and
stuff,
Scottish Cup action. So, we've been moved to Tuesday night.
But, like, obviously, that could really, by kind of what, usual kickoff time at 3 o'clock, Alloa could be confirmed as down, which would be a real shame if they had nothing to play for the final two games of the season. It would just be kind of nice to see them try and make that final game of the season with a small chance, even though it's against my Pars. I think, I mean, it would certainly make the final game interesting.
I can see them being relegated on Saturday and then beating Morton and Dunfermline in the last two matches. I can totally see that happening.
That would be typical Championship. But we've already discussed one striker who has come in and done a really good job. What about Arbroath? I believe the player who you think is key is also a striker who's coming in January.
Yeah, I think Jack Hamilton, again, if we're talking about loan signings that I had wished Morton had made in January, then and Jack Hamilton is massively up there too, because it took a wee while for him to get loaned back out again since he came back from East Fife. He obviously was at Livy for so long that he managed to get a goal in the Scottish Premiership as well for them this season. So it didn't look like he was actually going to come back out on loan. It looked like he was going to be part of Livy's squad, but then Arbroath managed to pick him up. And I think for me, if we're talking about strikers who are focal points, if we're talking about strikers who look like they can put the ball in the back of the net, then Jack Hamilton is another one in that mould. Maybe a little bit smaller than Cameron and not as much of a physical presence, but I think he still does have a bit of physicality. And I again, it's not going to happen because I would love to see him get a chance at Livy next season, but I would take him at Capello next season in a heartbeat, because I think he's going to be a really, really good level Scottish Premiership striker for his career, because I've been so impressed with him so far from what I've seen this season.
Yeah, I mean, I think when you consider how he done at East Fife, he's made the kind of jump up to the Championship with ease, and as you say, has already kind of started scoring at the Premiership level as well, and it does certainly bode well for both him and Livingston going forward. And going back to stats again, he actually has the fourth highest goals per 90 since coming in, with 0.58. only Nikolai Todorov, Osman So and Liam Boyce have better. And I mean, 6 goals in 11 Championship games, you can't really argue with that return, especially at a club like Arbroath, who, as we know, aren't exactly a club who score many goals. They've got the joint least goals alongside Morton, just 21 this season. And to consider that Hamilton has practically a third of those goals and he's been there for not even half the season. I mean, yeah, very impressive from him. Looking at Arbroath's final fixtures, Ayr, Dunfermline and Morton, how do you see them faring? Obviously not quite out the woods yet, still could get relegated, obviously, if Alloa pull off that massive escape. and also not clear that relegation spot, relegation playoff spot either. How do you think this season will finish for Arbroath?
I just look at their fixtures and it makes me so nervous with Morton attempting to avoid that ninth spot as well. I think with the way that their kind of performances have gone recently, and that especially that fight back on Saturday from 2-0 down against Raith Rovers at Starks Park as well, like it didn't look like they were in the game too much, and then they could have won it. Like Jamie McDonald had to make a cracking save late on to keep the point for Raith Rovers, and I think it's just that kind of smash and grab element. They are never say die. They're never going to give up their championship place as easily as some might predict that they're going to. And I think as well, if we're talking like, yes, key players is obviously the players that put the ball on the back of the net, and Jack Hamilton scored a cracking goal to get that first goal on Saturday. But if you look at our growth across the season, it's maybe not been as good as last season, but their top appearance makers have all been the back four and the goalkeeper. So Derek Gaston's played the most minutes this season, followed by Ricky Little, Tam O'Brien, Jason Thompson and Colin Hamilton. And you'd be probably willing to bet that it was exact same last season as well. And it's just that total settled spine of the team that they've had. It's gone through a few changes this season. Obviously, your pal Miko has gone back to Aberdeen, but they've brought in Ben Williamson to replace that pretty much. Well, not like for like, because they're different players, but bringing in a loanee to replace another loanee, and one that's kind of done, looks like it's done seamlessly as well. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if they stayed up, to be honest with you, Cammy.
I mean, I can't see them going down. I think, as you say, they're a team who always fight really hard, and I think that's a characteristic of Dick Campbell's teams. They maybe don't, as much as he'd maybe say, they try and play football, they make themselves hard to beat. Obviously, they played some quite nice football last season. We were certainly very impressed with them, and yeah, things really haven't kind of went how we'd expect them to have based on last season. But I think if they stay up, it'll then be really interesting to see how they then do in the third season. If I'm not wrong, this season was Elwa's third season in the league. And I mean, after kind of not ever really pushing for the playoffs or anything, they've always just kind of been there. They always survive. They always do enough and whatnot. And it'll be interesting to see how our growth kind of fare and what would then be their third straight season. And I mean, I think that's a fantastic achievement in itself. Obviously, they'll more than likely be the highest ranked part-time club in all of Scotland. So
I was just about to say that too. They become that destination almost for the best part-time players.
It kind of goes back to what I'd said on the previous pod or one or two pods ago, where we discussed Dick Campbell and that kind of pool that he has. And I think the fact that they will then be the best part-time team, obviously depend on who comes up from the league below, but obviously based on the kind of way this season ends, it looks like they will be the best team at part-time level, at least for another season. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see how they kind of approach their recruitment. I think we certainly pointed out maybe some gaps early on in the season. They've done all right to maybe plug them, like Sir Hamilton coming in, Williamson coming in to replace Vertanen. And yeah, I think it will be interesting to see how they kind of fare in their third season, because also last season, had it went on, I mean, they could have quite easily made the playoffs. And yeah, who knows, they could have pulled off the Livingston of a few years ago when they went up 2 years in a row. So yeah, I think an interesting kind of end to the season for Arbroath, and obviously next season as well, provided they stay up. But shall we move on to discuss team number three, which is Ayr United, a team who you're keeping a very close eye on due to them being in rather close proximity to your Morton. Who do you think will be key for them?
This was a really tricky one for us, wasn't it? Like, we were just debating it before we hit record as well, because it's by law that we have to mention now my prediction at the start of the season on every single podcast that I thought they'd do very well this season and finish second, because you look at some of the players that they've got, but those players have been there all season now and they are in the position that they're in. So they've not been performing to their perceived ability. So I've gone for Mark McKenzie to be the player that it could be very key for them in the last three matches of the season. So he's kind of come in as since David Hopkins came in, basically, like, they've really struggled up front. I think Andre Wright is he's been injured. Michael Moffat's been injured as well. So Hoppy just chucked McKenzie in, young 20-year-old, and he's done okay. I think he did really well at the weekend, which you were watching, but probably before you fell asleep for the rest of the match. But he did really well to assist Michael Miller's goal at the weekend, and he's done that a couple of times. Now I think he's got a couple of assists, although he's not. It doesn't look like what I'm looking at has put him down for any assists. But I'm positive that he assisted Michael Miller's goal on Saturday. I could be totally wrong there. And yeah, I think he picked up his first goal a couple of weeks back as well. So he's just a bit more of a kind of lively figure up front, and something that they've been severely lacking for the season. You mentioned earlier, Cammy, that they obviously had Dennis Cameron to start off the season. Bruce Anderson didn't really set the world alight when he was there in the first half under Mark Kerr. So yeah, I think they've struggled in that position for the entirety of the season. And I think that's why I've gone for McKenzie to attempt to be the difference.
I mean, it's an interesting show. As you said, we were kind of struggling on who to pick because there's not really been any standouts in this Ayr team. Not quite like last season, and the season before, where there were so many players that you could have said, I want him at my club kind of next season kind of thing. There's just not really been that for Ayr this season. I think maybe early doors, we were big fans of Sinisalo. He's obviously injured and won't play again. And I think for me, I'm going to name the new goalie that came in kind of on an emergency loan basis, PJ Morrison from Motherwell. I can't claim to know an awful lot about him. Made his debut in the 1-1 draw against Dunfermline at the weekend, and I'm just going to put him down as key, because if he can keep the goals out, I mean, they're going to pick up points, and they only kind of need probably, it's tough given how kind of close they, 7th, 8th and 9th are, but then you'd think maybe 3 points. So if you get 3 draws out of that probably see you stay up. But I mean, it's really hard to tell. But
I was just going to say, Cammy, like, again, we can't look at anything on paper in the Championship, but on paper, I think Ayr United's fixtures are the most difficult going into the last 3 matches of the season. And I know Morton have got Hearts to play, but and we're just kind of disregarding that one. It is still kind of in our hands because we've got Alloa and Arbroath to play against. But Ayr have got Arbroath this coming Saturday. They follow that up with Queen of the South, who are obviously attempting to chase the playoffs. And they've got Inverness away on the Friday night of the last game of the season, which Inverness will be looking to secure probably playoff by that point as well, if things kind of stay the way that they have been over the last couple of match weeks. So I think they're 3 really tough fixtures for Ayr to finish the season.
Yeah, I mean, I think when you consider the teams are up against, obviously, as we said kind of at the top of the show, everyone's barring Hearts still have something to play for, and kind of, yeah, I think the Arbroath one's going to be a really tricky one, and that could ultimately determine who finishes in that relegation playoff spot. And that's not including even yourselves, who are obviously currently occupying that spot. So, yeah, I mean, it's a tricky one. And I think, yeah, Queen of the South and Inverness will certainly be 2 difficult games. Inverness, probably only a win away from securing a playoff spot, actually. So, yeah, might actually favour them come the final day of the season if they find them favour Ayr, I should say. Should Inverness have secured that place, you might, similarly to Hearts when they face you, might not be too fast, so long as they've kind of got the playoffs. I'd imagine they'll be quite chuffed with that, and just
they'll still be fighting for where they finish in the playoffs potentially as well, because obviously that comes back. If you get that second spot, then you get a little bit of a rest while fourth and third play each other. So That's still to play for a little bit. Obviously, Wraith are in that position at the moment, but it's still doable for the teams below Wraith.
Yeah, absolutely. So going kind of off of that, that's kind of led me on nicely to the next team, and that is Dundee, who are sitting 2 points behind second place Wraith Rovers. Who do you think is going to be the key men for James McPate's side?
Well, I think you've picked one, and I've maybe picked another here. So I'll talk about mine And I've gone for Lee Ashcroft. I think he's had a bit of a Ewan Murray style scoring streak over the last couple of weeks. Obviously got the gutting late equaliser against Morton on Saturday, and he had that. I think if you think back a couple of weeks back, he had that double against Alloa as well. And I think as well, if you think back, just like Dundee have been a little bit more solid at the back recently too. And I think he's probably contributed to that too. But the thing always with centre backs is, or even defenders, you probably notice them a bit more when they're on the score sheet. And I think if he can be a danger or a danger going forward and relatively solid at the back, then that'll stand Dundee in good stead going into form for the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a good shout, and Gav will be sitting listening to this absolutely raging, having had some praise for Lee Ashcroft. But my key player is actually going to be at the opposite end of the park, and that's going to be Jason Cummings. Now, since Cummings has come in, it seems to just be a theme for strikers who joined their respective clubs in January to just score goals and score tons of them. He's got 5 and 12 games for them, and yeah, being a player who I think probably better than this level, I think you could say, and I think if he'd been here the whole season, it would have been interesting to see the kind of battle for the golden boot in the league between him and Boyce, because I certainly think Cummings, given the full season, certainly would have been kind of round about that 14-15 goal mark like Boyce is. So yeah, Cummings is going to be mine, but I mean, Ashcroft, yeah, certainly a good shout. I think even Paul McMillan, not a player that either of you have down on our notes, but someone who's also coming in January and just set up plenty of goals and just constantly looks a danger, looked pretty dangerous against Dunfermline last night. We're recording on the Wednesday, and Tars and Dundee played out yet another snooze fest. Well, I'm saying another snooze fest. There's been plenty of goals in the previous meetings between the clubs this season, but just I think it's something to do with the Pars, because, I mean, I'll speak more about the Pars later on, but that was the 9th time in our last 15 games we've failed to score a goal, and it is just absolutely brutal, as I've said. But kind of continuing with Dundee, they kind of look like they've got that playoff spot wrapped up, barring a kind of miracle from Dunfermline or Queen of the South. Does look like they'll be in the playoffs, and yeah, as you say, they could really finish in any of the three playoff positions.
Cammy, at halfway point, and then obviously when we did that podcast with the Talking Lower League guys, did you think that we wouldn't be talking about Charlie Adam so much come the end of the season?
I mean, the way Charlie Adam's just kind of fallen out the team I don't know what you can kind of say to it. Obviously, Max Anderson and Paul McGowan are now kind of that preferred midfield partnership, and Anderson's come in being brilliant. There was a good article from, I believe it was a Courier, that I'd shared on Twitter, and just kind of discussing the kind of midfield and the changes. And I mean, some of the stats in that completely kind of blew my mind. It was just when you considered how much of an impact Charlie Adam was making in terms of his goals and assists early on, and we were always of the belief that he was the one carrying them to results and stuff. But I think the stat was in games he's scored, and Dundee have only won once or something like that. And it just didn't seem believable, but obviously I looked into it, it all checks out, and it's weird to see a player of Charlie Adam's kind of quality now kind of sitting on the bench and coming on every so often and kind of being behind Max Anderson, who I think was mentioned to us by Gary, the Dundee fan, kind of in the season preview. He kind of pointed him out, and obviously we are big Finn Robertson fans. He's not been seen for ages, certainly not playing as much as we'd hope, but Max Anderson's maybe...
Finn Robertson's injured, I think.
Now, that may explain why we've not seen him very often then, but I mean, I think Max Anderson is a kind of taking a place in our hearts and maybe becoming a pure championship favourite, because he's certainly a young player who's caught many folks' eyes, and since he's come in, he's popped up with a few goals. And yeah, just when you consider his debut last season, came against Dunfermline and gave that ball away, Kevin Nisbet scored that goal after running from the halfway line. I mean, I didn't kind of see Max Anderson going on to kind of perform as well. Yes, that was his debut, and it was kind of just a first thing. But yeah, to kind of see that turnaround and just the player that I've seen that night against Dunfermline to the player he is now, yeah, it's fantastic. And I think Dundee have a lot to kind of be happy with, although we've recently said the fans will probably be annoyed they didn't challenge Hearts more, and they probably aren't annoyed that they've not already like secured second spot. But I mean, they've kind of got all right form at the moment, picking up a few draws in the past two games, but you'd think they'll be confident for the playoffs when they get there.
I feel like we've been starved a little bit of like pure championship favourites this season, and Max Anderson maybe I think definitely comes into that reckoning just as a really talented young player. It feels like there's, obviously if you discount Inverness, who we'll probably get onto in a second, but it feels like we've maybe not had as many standouts as we did last season.
No, and I think this was something we'd mentioned maybe a few weeks ago about it just not kind of being the same, but going on to, well, I was going to say someone who could be a pure championship favourite, maybe a favourite for some other people, but going on to my pars, and the player I've picked is Craig White, and although that's not the player I think who could be a favourite for some, I'll let you go first before I start my rant on the pars. So who's the player that you think will be key?
Oh, it's a really difficult one because obviously every week we chat and every week you look at Dunfermline's performances and every week you look at, you watch Dunfermline's performances back on the highlights for me, and like they're just so boring, aren't they? They're not doing anything of note. They're not doing anything that we had necessarily expected them to at various points of the season. I think even just a few weeks back, and you'll probably bring it up, but if you think about that incredible 4-1 win over Raith Rovers, you thought maybe at that point that was them turning it back around again and they'll kick on, but and that's just not happened. And I looked at it and I'm like, maybe things have gone a little bit stale. So I've picked Ewan Henderson just as somebody who's maybe not had as much of a look in since he, he's obviously not played as much as other players in the squad. And I think if maybe he can come in, obviously got that assist for Declan McManus on Saturday with a decent cross, and it was a decent finish from McManus. But I think just that little flash from him on Saturday was probably enough for me to pick him as my player for the next three matches for them. Because, yeah, I think if you think about anybody else, there's nothing really been happening, to be honest, Cammy. I think even Morton have done more in their most recent matches than Dunfermline, and that's saying something.
I think everyone's done more than Dunfermline lately. As I kind of mentioned earlier on, the lack of goals, it's been terrible. And I mean, Henderson, he'd signed on, I think, the Friday, and then we played Dundee on the Saturday evening. And I mean, he and Scott Banks came on that day and, yeah, just completely changed things, brought something fresh. And I quite like the look of Henderson. Although he's not the player I'm going to say is going to be key for us, the player that I am going to say is Craig Whiting. Yet another striker who came in January who's managed to score a few goals, 4 goals and 9 appearances for us. It's difficult to kind of say the Pars are doing well. Well, no, we're not doing well. It's not difficult to say that at all. But I mean, in terms of positives, Whiting, obviously 9 appearances, that's all competitions, just in the Championship alone, 8 and 4. So a goal every other game, essentially. And, I mean, yeah, he's someone who's kind of come in and just added something a bit different, but at the same time, he's found himself starved of service. And I'm just hoping maybe him and your suggestion, you and Henderson, can maybe find some spark and just form a Dom-Tom, you and Murray kind of partnership for the final few games of the season. But as I said, I honestly can't see us winning a game for the rest of the season. I think I'd said with that kind of recent run where it was Dundee, Raith and Hearts, I said I wouldn't be surprised if we didn't pick up a single point. We did pick up that point against Hearts, and we're now 3 games without defeat, but we've also not won since we played Ewan Morton back on the 15th of March. And yeah, it's just been really poor. And like our kind of final fixtures, Queen of the South at home this weekend, then at home to Arbroath the following weekend, and then finishing the season away to Alloa. And on paper, you look at it and think, yeah, two of the kind of lowest ranked teams in Arbroath and Alloa, they should be wins. But Arbroath have caused us problems this season. They beat us well earlier on in the season. Queen of the South are a team who've caused us problems. And granted, we have beaten Alloa each time we've faced them. The most recent meeting, that wasn't a very good performance. And it's just, as I said, I honestly can't see us winning between now and the end of the season. It's similar to how we kind of ended last season and the season before that as well, where we just completely petered out. And I think it's, as I've said kind of recently, it's time for change. It's far too often that we've just kind of shown plenty of promise at the start and just completely fizzled out.
I think that this coming, the next fixture for you this coming weekend is probably the big one, isn't it? Like you sneak a win in that, you get a relatively decent performance, and that gives you a bit more of a platform for those last two matches, just to see if you can get yourselves into the playoffs. But yeah, I think one thing I was going to ask you, Cammy, and I think he's missed the last couple of matches, but Owen and Gav were talking about him in their loan watch in the main podcast this week, and Scott Banks. Is his injury serious at all? Is he picked up a knock? Is he going to be out for the rest of the season? Or
I'm not sure if he's going to be out the rest of the season. And although Gavin Owen kind of were huge like praise for him, and yes, I did about 2 minutes ago just say he was on and kind of done a good job when he came off the bench against Dundee alongside Henderson. Dare I say I've not been too impressed and maybe expected a little more from him.
Got man of the match in that Morton match that we were watching, didn't he? But basically, the only thing I spotted from him in that one was an incredible, like,
that was that nice
in the air and a turn, yeah, that kind of like he flicked it. And I think he probably is one of those that, and I think Owen said it to be fair, he's one of those that maybe needs the right system around him. And I think if you look at Dunfermline's squad, I don't want to talk about Dunfermline for the rest of the night, but there's so many players in there in an attacking sense. Like, you've got Dec McManus, obviously, from an attacking sense. You've got Kevin O'Hara, and then you've got Craig Whiting now. And then you think about Dom Thomas, you think about Fraser Murray as well, who I think has had a relatively decent season. And you think about Scott Banks, who's potentially going to come in. You think about Ewan Henderson. How do you, like, we could talk about this for the next 10 minutes, but that's a lot of players to fit into not that many positions going forward. And I think that's potentially been one of the issues, to be honest, in the last couple of months.
Yeah, I mean, just before we move on to your Morton, just to kind of finish up with the Pars, I think I've said I've wanted to see something different for a while. And granted, we did get that yesterday against Dundee, with us playing O'Hara, McManus and Whiting. And I mean, yeah, it was a bit weird. We had O'Hara playing on the wing for a bit, Whiting on the wing for a bit, McManus not as a striker, kind of as an attacking midfielder. It just kind of reeks of desperation from Crawford. We've had a few just kind of random systems, random kind of team selections. And yeah, it's a bit weird. I just don't know what to say about the Pars anymore. It's just, I think the sooner the season ends, the better for us. And we can then kind of look ahead to next season. And on that note,
we'll move on to another club that I probably don't really know what to say much about.
That team would be you, Greenock Morton. Now, who are you going to say could be key for you?
It's probably a quite surprising one, to be honest, but I'm probably going to go for Robbie Muirhead. I thought you'd insert more of a laugh there, to be honest.
I'm just trying to not laugh out loud too much.
Hear me out. So he's got two goals so far this season, but those have come very recently. Obviously, he scored a cracker in the Scottish Cup extra time to put us through against East Fife. And he picked up one against Inverness, albeit to get taken off the second after he scored it, which I thought was very, very harsh. It's not a similar problem to what we just talked about for Dunfermline, but we've been so poor going forward this season that I think we're at the point now where we're just chucking stuff at it and seeing if something is going to work. And it didn't really work on Saturday against Dundee. Muirhead did start, but he was so isolated, I thought, He didn't have very many players close to him whatsoever. It was much more of like a four, almost like a 4-5-1, pretty much. And that one being like Nesbitt wasn't really able to get close to him. Luka Kolva wasn't really able to get close to him either. And Lewis Strapp was kind of playing like left wing back, left wing almost. It was quite a strange way we set up. And I think that really like made us struggle going forward. Like, yes, we eventually got a goal, and Aidan Nesbitt could be somebody that you argue as being the key for us in the next three matches. But I think if Muirhead gets a little run, I think, and if we tweak the way that we are setting up on the pitch, and yeah, I think for me, he's the pick that I'm going to go for, because the rest of them have just been so poor. Like, we don't look like we're going to get a goal from Keziah Sterling whatsoever. Like, I think he'll peter into nothingness, and his 2 minutes in the Champions League will become his entire rest of career. That'll just follow him around. Gary Oliver is full of effort, as well as Calvin Orsi, but neither of them have much quality in terms of an attacking output. And I think obviously that shows with the number of goals both of them have got so far this season. Like, Orsi's got 3 and Oliver's got 2, which is just like not great from players that have played around about 1,000 minutes up front each for Morton this season. So it's just been such a poor goal scoring season, and I think just stick with Muirhead for the rest of the matches and see what happens.
I mean, you mentioned them then. The person I'm picking as the kind of key for you will be Aidan Nesbitt, and I think purely for the fact he's your top goal scorer with a whole 4 goals. One of your top assisters, granted he's only picked up a couple, but clearly a player who's contributed to Morton's very few goals this season. As I mentioned earlier on, joint lowest scorers alongside Arbroath, and the fact that kind of what Nesbitt's contributed 6 of them, or played a part in 6 of them at least. I mean, yeah, I think Nesbitt is a player who on his day can be a really exciting and useful player, and we know he can kind of be skillful. Obviously had that spell at Dundee United and previously at Celtic, and yeah, there's certainly a player in there. And maybe if I was to name one player other than him who I'd say stood out for me for Morton would be Aidan McAdams, purely for the fact I think without him he would have had less points than Alloa. Yeah. I mean, I'd obviously said PJ Morrison for Ayr being a key one. Again, we could probably argue Aidan McAdams being another important player for Morton. I think if he's just needing to not concede it. Similarly to Ayr, a few kind of draws should do it. And I think as we've already said, Hearts up next probably won't be the easiest of games, even if Hearts probably won't bother too much for it. And then obviously everything in your hands in the final two with Alloa and Arbroath. How confident are you that you can maybe get 6, if not more, points?
In terms of confidence, I'm not very confident, but I'm just sitting here. I think about it on like a 10-minute rotation since about the last couple of weeks. Like, I'm just praying that we can get 2 wins from those 2 last matches, and I think that'll see us safe. Even if we like randomly, even like the last time, obviously we went to Tynecastle and picked up a point. Like, if we can get something from Hearts on Tuesday night, then that'll be so important. Yes, it's great that we've managed to get to this round of the Scottish Cup, but I just want that out of the way now, to be honest. I think probably a lot of Morton fans are similar. Albeit even if we sneak a win against Motherwell, then that's very lucrative for the cup for the club in terms of finances. But I don't see it happening, to be honest. And I think there was a stat earlier on. Yes, we do only talk about the league, but I'll give you a cup stat now. The last top flight team that we beat in the Scottish Cup was Gretna in 2008.
Jesus,
which is just like crazy when you think about that. So there's probably 0 chance that we're winning on Friday night. But it's kind of a little bit annoying now because it just shifts the fixtures about a little bit, and we've got Hearts on Tuesday night. But yeah, I'm not confident, but I'm very, very hopeful.
And then what about Gus McPherson? Then obviously he's come in Would you look to keep him past the end of this season, or do you think that will largely be determined by the league that Morton find themselves in?
Yeah, it's probably the what you just said. I think the see what happens over the next three matches or four matches now, and judge it at the end of the season. I think the issues that clubs obviously sometimes find themselves in is you go on a little bit of a decent run, or you get you stay up, or you manage to win a trophy and you keep a manager on that maybe doesn't look right. But I think there has been some really promising signs, like he's given Dan Hines a chance, for example, where the last kind of couple of managers haven't done that, and Hines was rewarded with a new 2-year deal as well, and the club have kind of backed him on that. So I think it would be interesting to see what he could do if we stay up. And obviously, there's the fan ownership, which is why I'm probably a big part of why I'm praying and hoping that we stay up, because that'll be so important for that momentum.
Yeah, absolutely. So, anything else to add on your miserable Morton, or shall we move on to Inverness?
No, let's talk about a team that plays some decent football,
and a team with plenty of players that we enjoy, and a player who, I mean, he's not the player we have down, but a player who is certainly in the SPFL's heart at the moment, and that is Carson, who was recently named the Championship Player of the Month. Now, I think we've said every single week when he finds himself in the Team of the Week, why is he kind of in there? Is there anything kind of recently from him that's made you change your mind?
He's the best right back in the country, Cammy. I don't know why you're being so harsh on him. I think he's superb. He's like Cafu reborn.
The ginger Cafu.
yeah, it's obviously a really tricky one. Like we found it quite difficult to kind of understand why it has been happening and why he's made so many teams of the week, why he's won Player of the Month. But like, I don't know. I've seen him twice now. Over the last kind of couple of weeks when Morton have played Cali, and he's fine. Like he's a decent right back. I don't think he majorly stands out in any way. He obviously got a decent goal against Dunfermline, I think it was. I'll just get that in there. Obviously like to always wind you up, but yeah, other than that, like I think he's just a decent right back, isn't he?
Yeah, I think decent's probably the word to describe it. I'm not sure what all the loving's for. Maybe it's just because the highlights on the matches that other than the ones against the clubs that we obviously support, maybe don't show him all that well. Certainly, he got that goal against the Pars, but, I mean, he didn't do all that much off the top of my head other than that. And yeah, it's an interesting one. So any Inverness fans, if you maybe want to tell us why David Carson is the best right back in the Championship, feel free to at me or Chris on Twitter or the Pure Football account and explain why, because yeah, he's left a lot to be desired for us. But one player who hasn't, and I think we're both in agreement that this man will be key for Inverness, and that is Nikolai Todorov.
Definitely really like him, think he's a really good player. I'd like to point out that I liked him last season as well, just to get that in there. I think I mentioned him quite a bit. Obviously, he was kind of more Jordan White's understudy last season. I obviously really liked Jordan White as well. I said that plenty on last season's podcast, but Todorov has kind of filled that void that White left this season, and he's kind of hitting form at a very good time as well, with another cracking goal on Saturday against Queen of the South. It was a really, really good header at the back post, and that just followed up his I'm going to say incredible double against Morton, because that second goal was an absolute peach in the 4-1 win. So yeah, I think he's hitting form at the right time, and if he can fire Cali into the playoffs, then I think my article that I wrote at the start of the season where I tipped him for a wee bit of success will be vindicated.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, just looking at his stats, he made a really good start to the season, a goal in each of his first three league appearances. And I think at that stage, we were thinking, yeah, he could really be someone who could score plenty of goals. And then he just kind of didn't getting the team. He was in and out and wasn't really starting. And then kind of February time, he got a goal in two games in a row, and then went a few games without scoring again. But yeah, as you say, he's found form at the right time. 4 goals in his last 3 games, including that double against Morton. And yeah, I mean, joint second highest goal scoring league with 9. And yeah, I think we maybe had some concerns about Inverness's striking options at the start of the season, especially with Jordan White leaving. We were both big fans of him last season, but Todorov has certainly stepped up and filled that void, even if I would have maybe have liked to have seen him score kind of more goals in that kind of mid-period that I'd mentioned, where he was kind of in and out the team. Obviously, that does make it a bit hard when you're in and out the team. But, I mean, I think if he'd managed to score a few goals there, Inverness, I mean, it goes without saying, would be in a much better position. But let's not kind of put it solely down to him. I think Inverness are probably going to make the playoffs. Whether they'll manage to squeeze into second, I'm not too sure. Maybe just a step too far, but certainly third's just about in their reach as well. So yeah, not that it really makes a difference. They'll still face Dundee whether they finish third or fourth. But yeah, is there anyone else in this Inverness team that stood out for you?
There's a couple in there. I think Daniel Mackay's hit some form at a good time as well. I think he could be really key over the next couple of matches. We should probably cover off what those matches are. Yes. As well, Cammy. I'm just going to bring it up in front of me. So they've got a very good chance, I think, to reach the next round of the Scottish Cup as well, just as one of the championship representatives left in the tournament. Again, I'll just get that in there because Morton beat Dunfermline on penalties. but they're playing St Mirren on Friday night. And then they follow that up. Again, the match has been moved to Tuesday, but they've got Dundee at home on Tuesday night, which is a huge match. Two big matches in terms of the playoffs in this round of fixtures, with obviously Dunfermline playing Queen of the South and Cali playing Dundee. They've got Hearts for a little last love-in of the season between Hearts and Inverness Cali. And then we talked about it earlier when we were talking about Ayr, but they finish up with Ayr on the last Friday night of the season. So tough fixtures again on paper, but with the form they're in, I think they could potentially be looking at 6 points out of 9 there.
Yeah, no, I don't think that's too unreasonable. Obviously, the Dundee game, I think, will be an absolute cracker. Probably the third place decider. Then yeah, Hearts, I think by then, if they've not already taken the foot off the gas, as we've already kind of said earlier on, I think they certainly will have by then. And
I'll give Inverness a wee 3 points to just say another wee thank you, won't they? At the end of the season.
And they probably spite Dundee and make sure that Dundee probably finish lower in the playoffs. And yeah, that given how Hearts have kind of spited a few teams this season, or at least their fans have, it wouldn't surprise me in the slightest. And I think there will certainly be calls from Hearts fans to do exactly that. Then obviously the final day of the season, home to Ayr United, you'd certainly fancy them to wrap up the season with a win. Obviously beat Inverness the last time they played each other. I can't recall the result the previous time, but yeah, I mean you'd certainly fancy them to beat Ayr, and then I guess it's between beating Dundee and Hearts. And if anyone, you're going to be wanting to beat Dundee if you get the option, but. But yeah, shall we move on to the second last team, Queen of the South?
Yes, we should. Don't know why I was confused.
So yeah, I think there's probably a few players for Queen of the South. Maybe more options than most teams. I think there's been a few players who you could all make a really good argument for. I know you've got 2 down and I've not got them down on our shared note, but we're going to need to bring him up and just apologise again to Mr. A.O. Obalai. I think it's much like you bringing up that the Pars getting beat by Morton, and I always need to bring up that Ayr second prediction, but we've got to apologise to A.O. Obalai for that, for the absolute grilling we gave him after that kind of defeat to Raith Rovers. Obviously, he's also the joint second highest goal scorer in the league, despite playing most of the season at centre-half. He's not scored in 3 games, which is absolutely appalling. But yeah, I mean, I think Obalai has certainly been a player who turned things around after a very dodgy start and has been solid, obviously, moved into defensive midfield and hasn't really looked back since. But I think there's 2 other players certainly that think you're going to make a case for as well.
Yeah, I think, well, firstly, yeah, piling on that, if I look back to match day 7, I think it was, and Hearts tore Queen of South a new one, 6-1. I think I actually vividly remember like writing my notes for that one and blaming about 4 of the goals, potentially even 5 of them, on Ayo Obalaye specifically. But the thing for us was moving him further away from his own goal, which has been probably the success story of Queen of the South season, to be honest, getting him into defensive midfield and shoring up that midfield and playing at the base of it. And I think if you look at his season, he's only missed 45 minutes of the league season so far for Queen of the South, and that is when he got sent off against Alloa, which then got rescinded. So I think he's definitely up there with one of their best players so far this season. But in terms of who's going to be key for them for the last three, I think you can't look past Connor Shields because of what he's done so far, and he's been such a danger in every single match. But I might actually call out Aidan Fitzpatrick, just because if we're talking recent form, then again, I watched the highlights of Queen of the South against Inverness at the weekend, and he scored a cracking goal. He kind of ran from his own half. I think he'd just come on at that point for Isaiah Jones, who was potentially going to be another shout for a player. As you were saying, Cammy, there's quite a few players that we could shout out for Queen of the South. But Fitzpatrick kind of ran from his own half and it didn't really get challenged, to be fair, by any of the Cali midfielders, but was a cracking finish past Mark Ridgers, and albeit Cali scored just after to equalise. And obviously, Queen of the South were playing last night too and couldn't get a result against Raith Rovers. But if we look at them going into the last three matches of the season, they've got that important match that we've touched on against Dunfermline on Saturday. They've got Ayr United the Saturday after, and then they finish up the season at home to Dundee, which could be key. Like they could dent Dundee's chances at some point of finishing as high up in the playoffs as possible. So, I think I'm probably going to go for Fitzpatrick, to be honest, just because I was really impressed with that goal from Saturday.
Fair enough. So going on those kind of final games then, and looking at the table, Queen of the South currently occupy 6th, 31 points. Inverness currently 4th with 34. Dundee 3rd with 38. I mean, I think it's certainly possible for Queen of the South to make the playoffs. I think that game on Saturday, as you say, is going to be a must-watch, kind of much like that Inverness-Dundee game that's coming up. There is a lot of kind of games that will determine a lot, I think. And I think that's kind of what you're wanting at this end of the season. You're wanting teams kind of fighting for it, all playing each other. And I think it will just add a little extra something in the kind of final few weeks of the season. I think I'll sit with Obalaye, but I think you've certainly made a very good case for both Fitzpatrick and Shields. And then I think we'd be wrong not to give a shout out to Willie Gibson as well. Granted, his form's maybe not been as noticeable in recent weeks, at least to us. Still
he's
a player
been
who's
been taken over by Davy Carson in the right back stakes, I think.
the players who aren't right backs playing at right back awards, I mean, if we'd done it a few weeks ago, I think Gibson would have won that award, no bother. Now Carson's obviously kind of thing within this, maybe a bit of a closer battle for that made up award that we'll award to someone at the end of the season. But shall we move on to the final team and this season's surprise package of the season, Raith Rovers?
The darlings of the Scottish Championship, Raith Rovers. I think you could again make a case for quite a few players here, but there's definitely one that stands out for me, and it's Regan Hendry. I think he's almost kicked on another notch in recent weeks as well. For me, I think if you are looking at their match against Arbroath from Saturday, he should have got on the score sheet to open the scoring, but his shot was parried by Derek Gaston and Dan Armstrong put it in the back of the net. And then I'm not sure if you saw this clip during the rounds. It was from good friend of the podcast, Raith Rovers fan, Barbecue Lou. He had kind of uploaded a clip of their goal from last night against Queen of the South, and it's another very similar goal where Regan Hendry basically starts the move in the right back slot and moves up the field with the ball and is kind of very instrumental in Gozie Ugwu getting the ball in the back of the net. And I think just if you're talking about how good a player is and how good a season he's had and how far he can probably go in terms of his next step from Raith Rovers, and Raith Rovers fans, they'll probably be thinking or maybe hoping that they can keep a hold of him, but I don't see it happening personally. I think Regan Hendry is going to be key for the last three matches of the season for Raith.
Yeah, he is, and obviously we're seeing kind of the last three, and we said that for Raith and Dundee, who've probably wrapped up a playoff position, but obviously you've got to consider the playoffs for these teams as well, and you'd fancy Hendry to be exactly that for them. I think Hendry has been one of the best central midfielders in the league, that goes without saying, and as you say, I can't see him sticking around at Raith. His contract's up at the end of the season, and I mean, as much as Raith would maybe like to keep him, and as much as we'd like to see him remain in the Championship, you can't help but think he's kind of there for bigger and better things. I think a few weeks ago we'd suggested maybe a move to Hearts, then maybe partnering him with Andy Irving. But then I think we in the Pure Football chat have maybe suggested he's better than kind of Premiership and could maybe have a go down south, maybe a bit early just yet in his career. But I mean, yeah, would be worth a try. And I think he can certainly be a key player for Raith Rovers in their running. And I mean, it looks like they're settling. It's looking like they can definitely finish second. Obviously, 2 points over Dundee at the moment. Have them to play as well. And yeah, the remaining fixtures for them: Alloa away, Dundee away, then Hearts at home. I think Raith, I wouldn't actually be surprised to see them pick up 9 points here. That might be a little bit mental, and there'll be Pars fans going, "Why are you speaking so highly, Raith?" But it honestly wouldn't surprise me. But then obviously we've seen some games for Raith, obviously kind of at the start of February, just to kind of get my fellow Pars back on my side. The 4-1 win, 4-1 defeat, sorry, to the Pars was obviously a really poor day for them. Then they obviously bounced back with a 5-1 win a few weeks ago. And yeah, I mean, I think they could probably put the nail in Alloa's coffin at the weekend. Then that Dundee game battling for second is going to be some game. And it's just Dundee seem to be locked in so many battles for playoff positions. And yeah, it's just going to be mental, as we say. So with that brings an end to this week's episode of the Pure Championship podcast. If you agree with the key players, let us know. And if you disagree, let us know who you think will be key. Again, a few weeks ago, we very wrongly tried to predict the Championship table, and things have went completely differently. So if you even want to hit us with a kind of final table, be our guest, because we'd certainly rather you do it than us again. If you enjoyed what you listened to, be sure to share it around with your pals and leave reviews. It's all very much appreciated, and we'll see you next week for another episode of the Championship Best Podcast.